Well, we've got this morning. I wanted to open by looking first at 1 Corinthians 14, beginning at verse 26. And I've entitled this Unity. I wanted to begin by talking about unity. I saw some things in Scripture that I just wanted to share on that subject. And so, beginning first at 1 Corinthians 14, beginning at verse 26. What then is it, brethren, whenever you may be coming together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a language, has a translation. Let all occur to edification. It goes on from there, and then I want to also share the 33rd verse. For God is not for turbulence, but peace, as in all the ecclesias of the saints. I think the key that I see in that, and I realize that this was perhaps a different time, a different era, different things going on, but I think we still see in the principle that Paul spoke of when they gathered, was that when they gathered, all was to occur to edification, to the building up, not to a tearing down, but to a building up. And we also notice in there the contrast, it should be peace and not turbulence. I want to jump also to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 on a similar note. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 10. Now I am entreating you, brethren, through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that verse 10, I am entreating you, brethren, through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all may be saying the same thing, and there may be no schisms among you, but you may be attuned to the same mind and to the same opinion. Now, I look at that, and what it's not saying, of course, is that we're not all to simply be yes men to whatever is being said. We're not all to be just necessarily agreeing with one another. But we are, I think, to function as a body in an edifying manner, to come to an understanding of what God has said, and therefore our goal is to be attuned to Him. Our goal is not necessarily to attune ourselves to one another so much as to be attuned to Him. And I think when we are attuned to Him, it becomes an automatic then that we are of the same mind and the same opinion. But the key there, again, not that we are yes men, not that we are always in full agreement. Certainly there are things we have varying understandings on pertaining to God's revelation. But we seek to be attuned to Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. For the body also is not one member, but many. If the foot should be saying, seeing that I am not a hand, I am not of the body, not for this is it not of the body. And if the ear should be saying, seeing that I am not an eye, I am not of the body, for this is not of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the sense? Yet now God placed the members, each one of them, in the body according as He wills. Now if it were all one member, where were the body? Yet now there are indeed many members, yet one body. Yet the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, or again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much rather, those members of the body supposed to be inherently weaker are necessary. And which we suppose to be a more dishonored part of the body, these we are investing with more exceeding honor, and our indecent members have more exceeding respectability. Now our respectable members have no need, but God blends the body together, giving to that which is deficient more exceeding honor, that there may be no schism in the body, but the members may be mutually solicitous for one another. And whether one member is suffering, all the members are sympathizing, or one member is being esteemed, all the members are rejoicing with it. So here we see that a blending together of all parts of the body. We are one body, of course, and yet we are many, and we have differences, and yet all of us play a part. And we are to be, as we play our part, mutually solicitous for one another, as opposed to opposing one another, which again goes along with the theme of unity. I think we see throughout these passages that I've read a continuing, reoccurring theme that we see resulting in, among the many members of the body who are one body, this unity. Now, one thing that's always interested me is if we stop for a moment and consider what God's call is to man. And to me, the call is to simply believe. We see the example of Abraham, for example, who believed God, and it was reckoned as righteousness. So to summarize, God spoke, Abraham simply believed. God reveals things to us likewise, reading from Ephesians chapter 1, where we read that he lavishes grace on us in all wisdom and prudence, making known to us the secret of his will. So the Lord certainly does make things known to us. And so, similar to Abraham's situation, God speaks, and we're called upon to believe. One thing I also find interesting about Abraham is while he believed, he didn't always fully understand. And I think the visible result of that is Ishmael. God made a promise to him. I think there came a point in time when Abraham began to wonder and began to take matters into his own hand, because I think he did not understand what God's plan was. Therefore, he took matters in his own hand, you might say, the result being Ishmael. I think that we see in that yes, Abraham believed, but did he always fully understand? Now, we as a body seek to believe what God has told us through his sacred writings, but we may not all fully understand what God has revealed, similar to Abraham's situation. We have, therefore, many interpretations sometimes on a single biblical subject. Can we always assume that we, and I include myself in this, have the correct interpretation all the time on all points? And I begin to think that maybe a part of what the body's function is, as we work together and as we are mutually solicitous, is so that we can jointly, mutually develop a clearer understanding of what it is God has revealed. But the bottom line, I think, is that as members of the body, we've got to recognize that not all of us have the same level of understanding. As I think the example of Abraham illustrates, when he did not have a complete understanding. Still, looking at Ephesians 1, we see that we are called to mature. Ephesians 1, verse 15, if we want to turn there for a moment. Ephesians chapter 1, 15. Therefore I also, on hearing of this faith of yours in the Lord Jesus, and that for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you, making mention in my prayers that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may be giving you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the realization of him, the eyes of your heart having been enlightened, for you to perceive what is the expectation of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of the enjoyment of his allotment among the saints, and what the transcendent greatness of his power for us who are believing, in accord with the operation of the might and his strength, which is operative in the Christ, rousing him from among the dead and seating him at his right hand among the celestials, up over every sovereignty and authority and power and lordship and every name that is named, not only in this eon, but also in that which is impending, and subjects all under his feet and gives him as head over all to the ecclesia, which is his body, the complement of the one completing the all in all. So we see in this passage, Paul beginning with a prayer that those he speaks to have a realization, or at least a more full realization of him, an enlightened heart or an enlightenment. I think we see in that context, if we are to work together to be mutually solicitous as a body, there are times when patience is going to be needed. We're all the same body, but we have different levels of realization, and which is why in this case we see Paul praying that there be this realization, this enlightenment. I think there also at times would follow that we need a certain amount of humility to recognize that maybe we don't necessarily have a complete enlightenment, a complete understanding. Without looking at some of these other passages, because I don't want to impede on the next speaker's time, looking at Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 11, I'll summarize this, where we see Paul praying that those within the body may be, and I'll quote, filled full with the realization of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, and growing in the realization of God. I look at that word growing, and I can fully appreciate what that's talking about. I know in my own life, my own experience, I have seen over time a growing. There may have been times when I might have thought of myself, well, I've got it pretty well figured out. But since that time, I have grown to a different stage. And I think we realize that we're all growing. We're all growing at different stages, at different speeds. Again, we are called upon, I think, in this unity thing, to have patience with each other and to have a humility to recognize that maybe we don't always fully realize, fully understand. We're growing. In the passage in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 11, this is a familiar passage where we see that to the ecclesia, the Lord gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists. And here we see in that passage the following indicators for the upbuilding of the body of Christ. Again, this whole concept of our purpose being to edify one another, the edification of the body. Here we see it as the upbuilding of the body of Christ. Unto the end that we should all attain to the unity of the faith, the realization of the Son of God to a mature man, no longer minors. Here we see, again, those same phrases we saw in the other passages, unity, realization. And here we see maturity, a call for maturity, which would stem from growth. And then I like this part where it goes on to say, to the measure of the stature of the complement of the Christ. For we know from that Ephesians 1 passage that I read, in fact, that the ecclesia is the complement to Christ who is completing the all in all. And as such, as the complement, we are called upon to have this kind of maturity, this kind of growth, this kind of realization, this kind of unity and upbuilding amongst the body. For we are Christ's complement. As I step back and consider the fact that if in fact the body of Christ, the ecclesia, the church if you will, is the complement of Christ with the purpose of bringing about the all in all, largely we do a pretty lousy job of that. If in fact we are called upon to have some of these qualities that we've seen in the passages that I've read already this morning, and to be working toward this unity, this upbuilding, this maturity, you look at the body of Christ around the world, and if we are to function as the complement of the Christ in bringing about the all in all, leading to that event, we're not doing a very good job. And I think we are seeing how bad a job we are as we look at all the many different denominations, sects, messages that are going out there. We are, as Paul points out in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, administrators of God's secrets, as Paul speaks of himself there. And the need to be found faithful and learning not to be disposed above what is written, all in 1 Corinthians 4 verses 1 through 6. And functioning as Christ's complement, I think sometimes we are more concerned at times with our own agenda or enforcing our own understanding and beliefs. And almost, I have seen many cases in my life, and I'm sure you have too, where we even see accusing fingers being pointed that if others don't believe the same way one does, they may not even be a believer. They may not even be a part of the body, a part of the ecclesia. Overall, I would say we look at the church worldwide, the body of Christ, and I think we would agree we could do a better job of upbuilding, of edifying, of working with one another through patience and humility and maturing, that we might be viewed by those outside the body of Christ truly as His complement. But at this point in time, I don't think we do a very good job of that. Now, as we interact with others in the world, few more passages to consider, and I'll just point out the key words that I see in these passages. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, where we see, with patience, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit with a tie of peace. 2 Timothy 2:14, not to engage in controversy for nothing useful to the upsetting of those hearing. Now, I would say to you that that is not to say truth is not important, nor I don't believe does all controversy or disagreement necessarily stem from unimportant matters, but much controversy does. And I think that's what this passage speaks to, not to be engaged in controversy for those things that don't matter, for those things that are not useful. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 through 15, here we read, things like bearing with one another and dealing graciously as the Lord deals graciously. And in the 14th verse of that passage, put on love, which is the tie of maturity. 2 Timothy 2, and I know that I'm jumping through this rather quickly, but I will let you kind of look these up on your own and see that I'm what I'm talking about and not pulling these things out of context. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 22 through 26. The stupid and crude questionings refuse. They generate fightings. We also see in that passage, be gentle toward all, apt to teach, bearing with evil, with meekness toward those antagonizing, for God may give them repentance. God may give them a realization of the truth, which again is one of the goals we saw in other passages. So to summarize, as it pertains to the body of Christ, as we deal with one another, and as we exhibit how we deal with one another to those outside the body, I see the common thread running through these passages that I've shared. We are to exhibit such things as patience, gentleness, meekness, peace, unity, maturity, and most of all, love. Those having a greater revelation of truth, to be more gentle, patient, meek toward those opposing them. And I think that one key to all of this is it's not always what we say, so much as how we say it. We might know the truth, and it's one thing to know the truth and to understand it and to have that realization, but how then do we communicate that truth? I think that's critical. And I think that is equally important with coming to a realization of the truth as to what we do with it and how we communicate it. Because I think that's where the maturity, that's where the love is really expressed in those areas. So, as I close, as we study and discuss the Scriptures, nothing that I have said would indicate that truth is not important. We recently did a study on 2 Timothy, and I can't recall how many times we noted in that study the times when we said, you see right there, Paul is saying truth is really important. That's why it was so necessary for him to speak on this, to repeat this. Truth is certainly important. But the most important thing is love. We've seen that in throughout 1 Corinthians 13, and a good closing word is in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 14, when Paul, as he begins to conclude that letter, let all your actions occur in love. I think that love, as we know, it's a summary of all things that are important. It is the most important thing. And I think that an exhibition of love among the body of Christ would lead to all these other things, and especially unity. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, we give you thanks as we gather at this conference, and we're so thankful to be able to be here. As we look at your word and we hear it expressed through the speakers that will be sharing with us in these next couple of days. And pray that you would be with us and strengthen us and guide us in our thoughts and our studies. That this all things as we gather might occur toward edification of the body. That we might be better prepared when we leave here than we are now to go out into the world and to be your ecclesia. To be your sons and daughters. To be those called upon to be the complement to the Christ in the completing of the all in all. Pray for each of the speakers that will be sharing with us that you would guide their thoughts and their talks that they share with us, that all might occur for your glory and for the edification of the saints. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We have